Hello, loves. This is Ruthie Wren, and I want to thank you for tuning in to another episode of my podcast called Defining Kinks, where so far we have tried to define kinks, and we've also discussed kinks that I feel define us. If you missed it last week, we talked about something that I'm pretty sure you all prescribe to, which would be narratophilia. If you didn't catch it, please look it up. It's actually more prominent than you guess. And it sounds a little creepy, but I promise it's not. So today I have a super exciting episode planned and a lovely, lovely guest. I have the lovely Zita Midnight.
Hello.
Thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. This is going to be great.
I know. I'm so excited. And I was going to say Zita of Reddit, but you're like everywhere. So yeah.
Yeah, I'm getting dotted around now, which is kind of nice. Right?
And the kink that we are going to talk about today is the ever exciting and promiscuous one of taboo. Particularly taboo relationship kink. So I actually posed this question to my guest, Zita, and I did get some really funny responses and some very serious, and I did take kind of a poll. But for you personally, when you hear, you know, when someone drops the words taboo relationship kink, what is the first thing that comes to your mind as far as that? What kind of relationship?
My knee jerk for that is incest. That's what comes up first in my mind.
Yes, exactly. I took a vote, and out of about, I think it was 57 people that answered on my little Twitter poll, I think it was 44 said incest.
Well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah, the higher collective, about 70, I think that makes it actually almost 90% right there. That said incest. I think that is a lot of people, for those that don't know, what taboo relationship is that it is a relationship that is not conforming and also considered inappropriate culturally. And that's really all it is. After that, it's like it's breaking it down into like very fine points after that.
Yep. Many little chunks.
Like after that, it's like splitting hairs, because taboo simply just means it's not socially, culturally, like class socially and stuff. It's not appropriate. It's not a norm. It's outside of the scope. And also because it is a social thing, also religiously, same thing. So it seems like the norm of our listeners probably think that taboo relationships are incestuous. I'm actually here to say that after looking at things and studying it some, it's not what the kink is all about. It's actually just one small, branch on the taboo relationship tree. And there's many others. And because of such, I think a lot more people are into taboo than they realize.
Yes, without doubt.
So I thought it would be a fun thing for this introductory part of the episode to talk about other taboo relationships that people don't even realize are considered taboo but are very sexy and attractive to many people in and out of kink communities. Okay. Of course, at the top of the list, there was incest. Yep. So they, you know, obviously incest and then also stepcest. Step relationships, anything step something, step brother, step sister, step mother, step father, step cousin.
I was going to say, is it naive of me? I kind of just put that right under the banner of incest and moved on.
I think it's all in the same wheelhouse, in my opinion. I think stepcest, for me, stepcest is kind of like all the things of incest that you like, but you can dismiss maybe all the things that you're uncomfortable with biologically.
No, yeah.
I did have a discussion with one of my listeners about it when I had brought up the poll that they said, why are people that are into stepcest are very adamant that, you know, it stays in the steps, you know, like a step something, as opposed to people that are incest and it's like its own niche. And really all I could really think of is that incest gives you all those taboo, or stepcest gives you all those taboo feels, but because of, I guess, the implications of the, you know, biological factors.
Yeah.
of incest. And then also I've actually, you know, which to be honest, not that I'm promoting, not that I'm promoting incest, as we've discussed, it's illegal. But incest, just so you know, to have those biological implications, it would actually have to be true incest for several generations to occur. So yeah,
I'm learning,
so, you know,
I'm
crazy
learning.
Things when, yeah, crazy things when you study, European history. I'm sorry. That makes it sound horrible. Like I'm like, not American history, huh?
Well,
no, yeah, it's because our country's so young.
The royal family. I don't even get me started. It's, I can't help it.
You know. So, you know, those pure bloodlines.
Yeah. You know, that's what it was all about. Got to keep the bloodline pure.
Oh, exactly.
And slightly insane.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and slightly insane. Yeah. So, I mean, those implications don't come until you have generations of inbreeding, as they call it. But I think it's that. And then I think what somebody also told me, which raised a really interesting point, and obviously we're not psychologists or anything, or you know, but somebody told me people that are more prone to stepcest, you know, as opposed to full-on incest kink, perhaps in their life they have really strained relationships, like with close family members, so to them they cannot bridge a sexual gap there to get into actual incest, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? So to them, stepcest, somebody that's married into the family that you don't have a shared history with, but it's got like that taboo vibe of, oh, we're family now, but I'm attracted to you. But that's wrong because we're family. Yeah. You know, they can find that hot. But somebody that they've had a familial relationship with, if in their walking life they have issues with people like that, then they wouldn't be into full-on incest because they can't make that.
It's a bit more of a jump, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just thought that was very interesting. So take on it. And it makes sense to me. It really does.
It kind of does to me too.
Yeah, and I think my thing is, as we've discussed on other episodes, we're not here to judge why people have kinks or what they're doing and stuff, but when sharing your kinks or when someone shares them to you, we've always said be mindful that, you know, they're trusting you, and sometimes there's a deeper reason, you know, for why they find things sexy and stuff. It's not just like, oh, it's hot, you know. Sometimes it is, but I mean, you know,
there can be all sorts of stuff going on under the surface that you don't know about, and that's the same with everything, really. It's important to be mindful of that.
Oh yeah, and it's the same on the counter side. If you express that you're interested in a kink to your partner and they're very adamantly opposed to it, it could be some very important reasons to them to be against a kink. So this is where you have to have, my friend used to call it adult conversation time, because, you know, you need to be respectful and you need to appreciate their history and their heart, and then find out if you can find a middle ground or this and that. And, you know, I've said, me and Jay in a past episode said, you know, just softly ask, well, why don't you? Or can you illustrate? Or can I at least show you why I like it? And maybe we can find something else that might cross that line sexually and satisfy that, you know? So it's okay, you know? You know, that's how we have solutions. You know, we need to move forward.
Being grown-ups. Oh, my God.
I know. No one expected it from us, but we're doing it. So moving on. So these two, there's two different ones, but they kind of fall into the same little building. Yep. We have coworkers.
Ooh.
Can be taboo. You know, it's forbidden in the workplace.
Yep.
Or boss employee.
Yep, yep. Oh, God. Okay, I might be jumping ahead here, but you say that and I'm thinking, doctor, patient, student, teacher. Oh, my God. Ah, there's so many.
yes. What was it? White collar professional and client, which included lawyer client, doctor patient, doctor nurse, which also kind of falls, you know, like, so there's all these ones and people are like, oh, now I know, like, there's a lot of listeners going, oh my gosh, yeah. I'm into taboo. And if you are, I have succeeded.
So, job done.
Yeah, da-dum. Well, we can just end the episode now. No, I'm just kidding. teacher student, it was a little different dynamic because a student personally usually isn't paying the teacher. I think that's where they were getting professional and client, you know, kind of like it's in a pay setting. And there was like legality issues of a different kind.
Yes.
Yeah, student teacher, obviously sometimes the student you know, isn't pain directly, even, you know, maybe if you talk like university professor, that's still taboo. It is legal. Yeah, it's legally aged, but so it's a little different. But see, it is definitely a taboo. And as a lot of people know, that when you get into student teacher, a lot of times you're also adding in other kinks that could be older man, younger woman, mm-hmm. or, you know, vice versa, older and younger, which is a taboo. Yep.
Age differences.
Age difference, big that's taboo. Which was another one, older, the age difference one. Yep. Something else that sometimes plays into those fantasy is the taken partner, which means a partner who is attached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's the cheating aspect.
Right, exactly. We've got the neighbor. So, which I thought was interesting that it was a taboo. Apparently, this is not one that's hugely considered. But I think it's because the neighbor falls into a lot of stuff, you know, like because
I wouldn't have considered some neighbor.
Well, and I tried to think about it, too, because it seems lighter, you know, like it does seem like a lighter taboo. I'm like, why would that matter so much? And then when you think of it, and I guess it's because me, because I'm an over analytical person. And also I studied sociology, which I love the study of people and groups. Awesome. And when you think of as a neighborhood is like a smaller scale society.
Yeah.
So if everybody knows everybody, and then all of a sudden you notice like Mr. Johnson's going over to Miss Smith's house and you're like, what? I think this might have been something more that was like old school, you know, like during that time where an unattached woman and an unattached man didn't, you know, yes. hang out secretly, you
it's
know.
Like an episode of EastEnders, to be honest.
Right, EastEnders.
Everybody yeah. else. Everybody's in everybody else's business, and you immediately mm-hmm. know if something isn't quite right.
Mm-hmm. But that yeah, I think that's the only thing I could equate it. Yeah, that's the only thing. Because other than that, I thought of like other taboos that could fit the neighbor scenario. Like, we've got like older, you know, like the age one again. Mm. Like, you've got older single next door to like budding younger man or woman, like college returnee, mm-hmm. whatever, you know, things like that. Or I thought of, you know, if you are talking the cheating aspect, you know,
oogling your neighbor over the fence.
Exactly. Or something, another thing that came up around age, which is probably one of my personal favorites, uh-huh. Is the babysitter and parent.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people don't think about that either. And I mean, like I said, and sometimes it's all legal aged, but it is the taboo of an experienced parent. Mm-hmm. You know, usually they are married, but I know that for those that don't want to delve into the cheating aspect, it's like a divorcee or a single parent mm-hmm. for whatever reason. And but still the age difference, and then the fact that usually it's big enough to where, not that they could have been their parent, but that, you know, mm-hmm. It's like, you know, much more than this young adult, yeah. you know, you're so it's kind of like that wisdom, you know, you know, better
forbidden fruit aspect to it as well. It's like it's, yes. it's a lot of a you want to, but you're not supposed to. And that in of itself can make yes. it something that you want even more. But well, that's human nature, isn't it? You know, I can't yes, have it. So it I really want is. It.
Exactly. Yeah. Give it to me. Exactly. Well, and I, you know, and it's very that I think that's like the whole root of taboo in a lot of ways. Mm. It's forbidden. And it's almost like when we see something that says, you know, or when somebody says, don't look, and we all like look, it's just yeah. like a knee jerk sometimes.
Don't look. Don't us. Push the button. Don't go that way. Take the other road.
Yeah. Take the other road, you know, and it's just like, yeah. Well, what's over there? I need to know. I want to know. And I'm glad that you brought up forbidden fruit, because another taboo relationship is a religious one. And a lot fell under this category, actually. You do have the religious authority figure.
Yep.
And then you have either the sinner or you have the rebellious religious students. We also had what was the other one? You also have that it's not even that they're an authority, but you have a more religious conservative type that kind of gets drawn to a very unreligious type.
Drawn to sin.
Drawn to sin, you know, and stuff. But, you know, but it's that appeal. And for whatever reason, because they don't answer to anybody, or it's because they, you know, whatever it is, yeah. or, you know, maybe religion was forced on the character. So they're trying to, you know, break out of it and it's a sin, you know, and all these conflicts and passions and
with the corruption of innocence thrown in there as well, quite often.
Yeah, exactly. Usually in that innocent aspect too is definitely, and it works the other way. Mm. You've got the sinner that wants to corrupt the pure, you know, and they're not always religious figures. It's just someone that is conservative or, you know, more innocent. So you're all giggling.
I can't help it. And what I'm really loving is we're going through these and for everyone that you're naming, I can think of an audio that I've listened to recently that hits one.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, God, this is just my entire listening history.
I know, you're just like, okay, yeah. Well, it's because I did research on my guests. No, I'm just kidding. No, but they're, and see, and that's the thing. I think people don't realize how much they prescribe to some kinks without even realizing it. They're like, oh, I'd never be into taboo. And it's like, well actually, actually, let me just pull out, you know, this big Rolodex of sin. I'm just kidding. So just a couple of more, and these ones actually are more prevalent, but very modern day. So these are contemporary taboos that people, and they're not hugely showcased in pornography of any sort or erotica usually because they're so contemporary.
Mm. Hit me.
Here we go. So the first one that I'll say because everybody likes this, the that jerk or that bitch that you know what I'm saying, like yes. the one we say we won't and then we and then do we can't help it. Everybody knows that person. Okay.
Oh God, boy, do I
think a lot of people I think a lot of people now just are like shaking their head like, gosh, I do know, you know. It's just, but that's a taboo. It's, you know, it goes against everything of your moral being.
Yep.
You would never. And then at the same time, you're just drawn. You're sucked in, you know, and you're like, dang it. So that's taboo, you know. And then, okay, so another one is, and this little group that I'm about to do actually kind of all go together. Mm-hmm. It is either the sibling or the ex of a friend. Right? That's so taboo. It's like, that's breaking, what do they call it? Breaking guy code or friend code.
What do they call it?
Bro code. Yeah, bro code. It's like, bro, that's my little sister, bro. Yeah. You know, like, but it's the same thing. And I know people, I always hate this because it's true how taboo it is. Because people say, oh, no, that doesn't really matter to me.
But it does.
It does. Well, like with girlfriends, like even if it was like, my ex-boyfriend, who personally for me, my last ex-boyfriend, in all intents and purposes, even the times that I miss him, he was a jackass. So I don't really want anything to do with him anymore. Mm-hmm. But if one of my friends started dating him, it would be a big issue for me. And in that sense, it's not sociably acceptable, you know, or, you know, things like that. So that does make it taboo.
Yeah. Oh, never thought of that one. Love it.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, love it. Same for sibling, you know, because then as a friend, you're caught up in that middle. You know, you obviously, you're loyal to your blood. I know. Like, that's my thing. I'm thank goodness. I've never had my siblings are all older. So I've never had to, like, face that issue. But I've seen others, and I'm like, I don't know how you do it. I don't.
That,
because I would have unwavering loyalty to my family.
Yeah.
And then, you know, but then at the same time, it's like, I don't want to so it's totally, that's why I think it's such a hard situation to be in. Because friends are your family that you choose, you know, so it's not like they don't mean nothing.
Oh, what a horrible situation to be in.
Oh, I know,
God, I hope
that
never comes up.
Yeah, you're like, please no. And this one, I put it at the bottom of the list because it's, I guess, on the fence about being taboo nowadays.
Right.
Because there's so many, well, I mean, I'll just say it, casual sexual relationships.
Okay. There is still a taboo about it. I mean, not so much as it once was.
A little
was,
bit.
But yeah, it's still there. But
it's still there. I think, this is part of the reason that I started the show, but, you know, we are, as a society, as a world, we are definitely becoming more, you know, sex positive.
Yeah.
but we still have a long way to go. But even consenting adults having casual sex, sometimes there are those that would upturn their nose or, you know, societal standings and stuff that it's just like, you know. So I still say it's a little bit of a taboo.
And it's a very lopsided taboo as well, because if it were women being promiscuous and sleeping around, as people would put it, it's frowned on so much more than a man doing it.
Yes.
You know, so it's almost a lopsided, one-sided taboo, which is actually quite annoying.
It really is in a lot of ways. And the thing that annoys me about it so much is that, you know, and I don't want this to turn into a big gender debate, but I mean, it seems like the men that are very pro-casual, which I don't have an issue with, you know, be pro-casual. It's just the pressure of a woman. For men, those kind of men, they desire a woman who's open sexually and wants to explore things and all this stuff, you know. Yep. And if you don't, then you might as well be a prude.
Yep.
But if you do and you're open and out loud about it like they are, then you're frowned on about by quote unquote normal people, you know. So it's so
There's
hard.
There's no way to win in that situation, really, is there?
There's really not. There's really That's not. And I found like it really is. And I found the only way you can win is honestly to be viewed as some sort of like, well, let's just be honest, some sort of bitch, because you just have to not care. Yes. Anymore what people think, and people are like, wow, you're such a, you know, you're so rude about it, or you're so like whatever. And I'm just like, well, you have to be, because if you get your feelings pulled in, you're either going to have, you know, the men that like the scene, you know, you're, you know, if you get your feelings into it, they're going to either call you out and just be rude about things, or you're going to have
everybody else will,
your family or friends, or everybody else will. So you have to just be like, you know what, I'm going to do my thing, you know. And that's
so sad it has to be that way.
It really is. It's not. So, I mean, so that really comes down to it. Any of these taboo relationships, as far as fantasy and fetishes and stuff, should we be, do you feel that we should have to deal with that or be super ashamed of it?
No, damn it. No. It's
no.
Raw. I really don't. I get quite wound up about it, actually, sometimes. Even for myself, when I have conversations with friends of mine, I can be very open with my friends about what I like and what I don't. But I cannot have these conversations with my family, for instance, even those that I'm quite liberal with. And it's because of those, you know, the expectations of a taboo aspect. What are they going to think of me? Do I need to explain? Will it change their opinion of me? And it's sad that we have to think that way. And we almost have to separate ourselves into two, sometimes three different people to satisfy who we're with when we're talking about things that are important to us. But yeah, it's really sad that it has to be the way. And it is changing. It is improving. You know, conversations are changing. The types of conversations that we have are changing. And things like this, a podcast like this, opens up the conversation a bit more and normalizes it. But there's still so far to go.
Oh, so much.
You know?
There really is. There really, really is. And that's just it. And big part of it is you get shamed, just like you said, just from talking about it. I'm not asking you to participate. I'm not asking you to agree with me. I'm asking, I just want to be able to express what I'm into, that I enjoy this, that I can see. Even sometimes if somebody said, oh, I heard so-and-so is into student teacher, you know, and I'm just like, oh, well, I can see where that's attractive. Even just saying that, whether I say I'm into it or not, some people will look at you like, excuse me?
Yeah. How dare you?
And then you're just like, oh, yeah, how dare you, you know, clutches pearls.
Yeah.
you know, but it's unfortunate because, like I said, you know, in previous episodes, when somebody – we're all trying to express ourselves and find our way in the world. And especially when we're talking about the age group of people that are listeners to this or that are on social media, you're talking about young, you know, you're talking about young adults, 18. Obviously, we all know younger, but that's not what this show is for. But ages 18 to about, you know, I'm going to say early 40s because the older generations are actually getting a little bit better at,
slowly.
You know, being progressive. Slowly, slowly. They're finding their way. I'm getting more and more surprised. But at least mid-30s, you know, they're present in all these places and they're the ones having these conversations. And, you know, it's they're all hugely or mostly sexual beings. It's normal. Mm-hmm. It is the time of that. That's that chapter, that 18 to mid 35s. That is a big, huge sexual exploration and discovery age. The whole window is you discover so much about yourself. And because I feel that that's a big, yeah, it really is. Right. I mean, like, I feel that I've grown so much like in the last couple of years, but now that I think about it, you know, from me being 18 to now, mm-hmm. there's been like chapters of my sexuality that have meant different things and I've grown in different ways.
Same.
Yeah. And we shouldn't have to be ashamed to talk about that, no matter what your kink is that you're into. Nope, not at all. So, you know, we'll just get off our soapboxes.
I'll step down now.
I'll step down now. I get so fired up too. As we've established here, I mean, we listed so many different taboos. I think just about everybody could – there's a taboo for everybody.
Yeah.
I think that just illustrates what we were just talking about because, like we said, taboo is a socially or morally, you know, inappropriately, mm-hmm. you know, viewed sexual relationship. And here we've, you know, everything that we've listed here and stuff like that, it's the same thing. If we still can't even talk about sex, then yeah, a lot of these are going to be prevalent and taboo.
It's going to be a problem if we can't even have a very simple conversation.
As we've established, a lot of these are not illegal.
Correct.
I know that a lot of times, a long time ago, coworker was illegal, had legal ramifications. Mm-hmm. But nowadays, it's just a matter of HR.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's it. Other than that, you don't have to involve anybody else. Same thing with boss employee. Mm-hmm. It is a little harder, a little more red tape, but it's not illegal. It just has to be put out there. But even then, socially, you would have coworkers that would say, oh, well, if she gets a raise or he gets a raise or, yep. you know, if they get the special projects or they get a day off, you know, obviously it's because they're stooping, you know. So
how dare they?
How dare they? You know, so, and I'm not saying some would take advantage of that. Let's be honest. Yeah. Who doesn't like to dote on their partner, you know, if they have the ability, but still, but most of them, a lot of them don't have legal, you know, things anymore, know, or that they're not. It's just a matter of that it's just socially a thing. So in my opinion, no, I don't think we should feel ashamed about it at all. It's a fantasy,
This is the part that bugs me as well. The fantasy aspect, if it's a fantasy, yes. if it's something happening in your own mind, it's nobody's business but yours. And mm-hmm, if these mm-hmm. taboos are a fantasy that you like to enjoy in your own head, it's even sadder then that you feel in some cases shamed for it or that you can't express it because it's just a fantasy and everybody is allowed to imagine something that they like or, you know, think about something that they might like without mm-hmm. feeling shame. And quite mm-hmm. often for people, it is just a fantasy. Whether it's legal or not, am I doing this the right way? Yes, I am. I'm thinking about this right. In someone's own mind, in your own mind, it's your business. You shouldn't have to explain mm-hmm. yourself to anybody. But I've come across people who are guilty over their own fantasies, you know? Mm. It's not like they're going out and doing anything, but their own, in their own mind, fantasies are causing them distress because they're worried about what people might think of them. And that's an awful situation. Oh, yeah. If you can't even enjoy your own imagination, what kind of state are we in?
Yeah, because a lot of these things, even like we've talked that a lot of them aren't even illegal or anything and it's just a social aspect. But even still, a lot of people able to actually go through them or not, a lot of people would not really do any of these. Mm. They are purely fantasy. Yeah. They just are, you know, role play is a huge thing, a huge kink. I mean, this whole thing falls into, for normal couples, is a role play. And most people that, you know, get into the kink communities are already in committed relationships or they have a partner. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for that reason, like you said, it can get people like us that are trying to, you know, be so progressive and support, encourage people to not be so muted with your desires. You know, I think that's a big part of the reason that I do the work that I do is because, you know, I was so sexually muted for so long. Part of it was I felt that I had to. Part of it, I was told I was had to, you know, for so many reasons. And then when I finally realized I don't have to do anything that I don't want to do, when I realized that, whether it's sexually or any part of my life, I started being more open. And I have come across so many people, like you said, that feel so ashamed because they're interested in something, you know? And
so sad.
It really is. And it's because it's, I feel like to be, you know, I feel that whatever your sexual demeanor is, you know, which we have everything on the spectrum, you know, as far as the kind of sexual person that you are. Yeah. Whatever your fulfillment need is, you don't have to explain to anybody, but you should be able to express yourself, whatever it is. And I think you need that to be a healthy, functioning adult.
People people want to be heard and understood in general. And, you know, when you take it to a sexual place, it's no different. People want their needs and desires to be understood. You don't necessarily have to agree with them, but people want to feel that they're not going to be judged and stomped on. They just want to be heard, just like in any other situation. I don't know why it's so different. It's sad, but it's so different. I keep saying that. I need new words, but it is really sad.
I think that is my thing right now. In this day and age, it's disappointing that it is such still hugely an issue when I just feel like it shouldn't be anymore. You know, it should be a non-issue in a lot of ways, especially since forever the vernacular was we don't talk about it behind closed doors. And then, you know, or, you know, we keep sex behind closed doors. And I'm like, okay, but we can't even talk about it. Like, obviously, we, like at all. Like, I'm not asking, like I said, I'm not asking you to participate. I'm not asking you to like it. But, you know, and then, and I think another part that really, I'm going to use your word now, saddens me is that people think they're into a kink. And then they try to explore it, but kind of try to do it from, like, you know, excuse the expression, but a half-cocked stance where they don't have the right information. They don't have the right partners, you know, and then it turns into sometimes I've heard some horrible scenarios that have turned people off on sex completely, not just a kink, but their sexual self, that it just shames them anytime that sex comes up. And I'm like, this is part of their identity, you know, as an adult. And it's a shame just because they were afraid that they couldn't talk about it. And we just want to take all of you out there that have had that horrible experience and let you know that with time and the right exploration and patience, and the right partners and resources, there are a lot of positive things about sex and the experience. Yep. And you don't have to let yourself settle for anything or to end on a sour note because of, you know, misinformation or what somebody else told you.
And there are people having these conversations, people like us sitting around and having the conversations. Sometimes it's hard to find where those conversations are taking place, but once you do, you'll learn that you're not on your own. I think that's one of the bigger things as well, because it's socially unacceptable to talk about so much of this stuff. People believe that they're by themselves and that they're alone, and it's very isolating. And to suddenly realize whenever it happens, however it happens, that there are other people who share the same ideas as you, have the same kinks as you, or even just want to have a conversation with you, that can be quite liberating, and in some cases actually quite important to save people from their own isolation. You know, it's important that these conversations are happening, and knowing that they're out there, if you can just do a bit of digging, or sometimes a lot of digging.
And it's, don't take I know, definitely this, I think this is our problem with, like, also instant gratification, how we're so used to that from our technology. Please don't always take the first thing that you're given when you ask a question.
Oh, please,
ask please don't do that. I wouldn't, if you only asked me, I would still say this. Like, I am not the end all be all. Nobody is. And there's so much out there, and it doesn't hurt you to get a collective. Like I've talked about in previous episodes, what BDSM is to one person is not the same to another person. Yep. And that doesn't mean either of them are right or either of them are wrong. But it's good to know mm-hmm. the kind of wheelhouse area, you know, zone that you're working with or that you can think about. So, yeah, don't always take it. You don't take anything for granted. So definitely speaking of not feeling so isolated, Zita, yes. out of all this taboo that we've discussed, do you have a favorite out of the list that is your favorite taboo? Or a couple of favorites? Like how you were like, God. Oh, no, I can't. She's like, now you're like, I can't talk no, about
I
that.
Like, no, my problem is I can't pick one. I like that entire list. The list oh, makes it's me so happy. Good.
The forbidden, you see, Zita just likes the forbidden fruit is yeah, what it much. Is.
If I can't have it, I want it. Gimme, gimme, gimme.
Oh, that's like me with food. Like, that is my thing. Food. You know, it's funny, that's yeah. my thing. Good sweets. Oh, my goodness. It's funny.
There's a pizza in my freezer right now and I really want it. So even something as simple as that, give me the pizza.
Yeah. I really shouldn't, but I think I'm going but to, you know, I want it. And then you justify it. And I'm an adult and I can have mm-hmm. it.
I bought it. I'm hungry. I can have what I like.
Exactly. Exactly. Oh, I just realized something that didn't that I guess it missed the list. Ooh. And maybe this has to do with neighbor, but strangers.
Ooh.
Like.
Wasn't
that oh, I didn't even think of that. I know. How did I miss that? Okay. Well, obviously, see, I told you, don't take my answer first because I miss stuff all the time. But strangers, like, which I don't know if it's my top, but free use gym fantasy is one of the hottest Whoa. Things to me.
That's
oh my gosh, girl, I can't. Well, I don't know what it is like, and I feel so bad, like. Say, well, I don't feel bad. Okay, I'm not going to feel ashamed. I don't feel ashamed, but like, see, this is where it comes down to. People shouldn't feel ashamed. I feel so naughty talking about it, though. I don't know. It's always, I'm not hugely into free use or strangers, but the two stranger ones, the stranger scenarios that I found hugely appealing is at the gym. I don't know what it is about the gym. And I'm talking like real life. This is not audio Ruth talking. Okay, all right. Real life, I have trouble going to the gym sometimes, not because I don't want to do the work. I love the way I feel after a workout if I can get my ass to the gym. But when I'm there, my horny level goes up through the
that
roof.
That is fascinating.
Because I just – and it's – I can't focus sometimes. Like I have to constantly move around the gym because I will find that I am not working as hard as I can be because I'm busy – fantasizing about X person over there on X machine.
Too many hot sweaty bodies.
I know. It's like the heat in the room, it's the smell, it's the I'm gonna be honest, like when people work out, it's the heavy breathing, it's the grunting.
Oh my God.
It's
oh don't.
You know, like I just can't. Like it's just gonna get worse. And this podcast is not to like ASMR turn people on, but it's horrible.
Oh my God.
But like so strangers, yeah, like that's like one of the fantasies where I'm like all down for the stranger sex, which, you know, that's not casual. That's like straight up jumping to I don't know you, but we're gonna mm-hmm. do this, you know, and that's socially like you can't. You don't even know
so
that,
dangerous.
You know.
Yeah.
Dangerous. And a lot of the time, those people aren't prepared. So guess what? They don't have protection, which is also no-no for, you know, so practice safe sex. Mm-hmm. So, and you heard it here from the impreg queen. So, you know, next time I get called out for that. So, but then the other one, the other stranger one that I find really attractive is the home invasion. Ones
oh
like
God.
The burglar
I think you've hit
fantasy
my favorite right there.
Since I hate to say this, but since I was like 17 or 18, I don't know what it is. Honestly, like I think part of it is I grew up in a very conservative small town where nobody locked their doors.
Oh.
So like my thing was is you know you wouldn't hear anything until it was too late.
Yeah,
I guess
just
you know.
In.
Somebody just wander in and catch me in my night clothes, you know. So, yeah. Oh. So, But okay, so yeah, those are, anyways, I can't believe that didn't make the list.
Oh my goodness.
Okay, but
that, yeah.
It's a huge one. Yep. It's huge. Yep. So, okay, so it might be your favorite, or you think, are there others? No. I mean, I have others.
I like that.
You're like, no, we're just not going to, we won't wander off. Well, so, yeah,
there's a danger element as well. It's not just forbidden fruit, it's the danger of it. It's the...
Danger.
The, what am I trying to say here? Not necessarily a threat to your life, but the idea that something might happen that you didn't choose.
Yes,
that in
this
of itself,
is true, because you don't, it's a complete unpredictability of what they'll do. You don't know. You don't know if they're going to be gentle, if they're going to be rough, are they going to leave marks, or, you know, are you going to get caught depending on the situation? Like, you don't know anything about them. You don't know. I'm just surprised that strangers, I don't know why, maybe they just all assume they're strangers. They can't all be strangers, but it's funny though. So, I think besides the strangers one, because that one is pretty hot. You're right. Yep. I think to me, my top one, probably my next top one is going to be older, younger. Older, younger is probably mine. I've always been into the older men forever. And I think that plays into also, I'm into the babysitter daddy thing. You know, it kind of falls in the same wheelhouse for me. Yeah, I think those are probably my top ones. So, but yeah, the stranger one. Yeah, no, I don't know. Yeah, I have to avoid gyms. So.
I'm gonna think of my local gym the same way again.
I'm sorry. No, please. I want everybody to be healthy. But no, it's a serious thing. Like, I'm not even. But seriously, because obviously women don't wake up with morning wood, but women can wake up quite horny, guys, just in case you didn't know.
Yeah, we can do that.
Just as much. We just don't have a tent. You know, we're not pitching no tent, but it's there.
Well, we get a lake instead.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. We get the dampness, you know, we get the rainforest without the tent, you know? Yeah, no, but if I wake up and have one of those mornings, I prefer to work out in the mornings. But if I wake up with one of those mornings, it's out of the question. Going to the gym is not on the slate anymore. It's not. And I'm just thinking, like, this shouldn't be, like, something that holds me back from that. But I'm not going to work out at home. This is not happening. Oh, how funny. That's hilarious.
Oh, God. Let me add another one to the list then.
Okay.
Because, yeah, strangers, good. But... I almost feel like age difference is almost too mainstream for me now, if that's bizarre. My home relationship is huge age difference, actually. So it's just what my life is. Wow. Yeah.
But
something about an abuse of power. So a doctor, nurse, or teacher, student.
Power play. Yeah. Ooh, power play. Oh, gosh.
So
I love power play.
Any situation where there is someone in a position of authority over another and they use that for nefarious means. I like that.
That is, and see, when you said power play, I don't know why this made me jump, but power play is a huge one. And it's so taboo to abuse that power. You know, and to be the one in the lesser power that goes along with it, you know, because most of the situations, it's kind of one of those things where it is like, if they just told somebody and maybe sometimes the scenario is that there is nobody to tell, but you know, it is taboo because a lot of these situations are blackmail situations in that sense. Yep. Like they caught you or they found out something about you. And if you don't do, you know, the dirty deed, then they're going to turn you in, or you know, whatever
it's
is.
It's that danger aspect again, the danger of being danger, revealed for whatever, or having secrets spilled, or it all comes down to danger.
And see, and maybe it's the danger in the power play that you said, but I was reminded something, some other, this is probably, this may exceed the gym fantasy, and it's one I'll probably never encounter, but as far as taboo and with the power play and the danger is a prey and predator, the cat and mouse game, huge element of a lot of the taboos. But for me, there have been so many primal fantasies that I adore and I can't get enough of like the woman being hunted, you know, in the woods or out in the wilds, you know, those aspects, or, you know, it's just the very calculated hunter watching its prey.
Almost and, distant and kind of clinical about it.
Distant. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes.
We're definitely talking the same language here. I love it.
Yep. We know. We know what's up. So. Okay, so obviously we've definitely picked on, we've found out our favorites.
Yeah, you know? That actually wasn't difficult in the end, was it?
Have you ever had any good experiences by role playing, like with any of these scenarios, or like any good bad stories, or you know, to that vernacular that you want to share? Obviously,
just kind of filtering through the mental Rolodex. excuse me. Yes, there have been fun role play scenarios, actually. Falling back on that student teacher thing again.
Yeah. You get to play with a ruler. I think that's, you know, I think most people that have, I think whether you're into taboo or not, I think role play, like kink, I think student teacher is like a big one. So. Like, you know, it and it's so it's easily accessible too. Like really when you think about it at the end of the day, like the outfit that, you know, the outfit choice, yep. Is easily, you know, it, you don't even have to buy it. It's pretty easily put together. Have, yeah. Yeah. It's usually what you have. I mean, if you wanted it, like you said, ruler, you know, if you want to go that far with the ruler and stuff, usually you can get a ruler for very cheap or you have one, you know. Oh god. A lot of measuring going on over there.
Actually, yes. Bizarrely.
Bizarrely, yeah. And so yeah, so that's a, I think that's an easy one that a lot of people have probably role played and stuff. Now I'm gonna feel like so dumb. Okay, because this is kind of a taboo thing too, but it's because just think of any social situation in which one person is on a social level not the same as another person, and you have a taboo. So to me, something that I've done, because I'm a nerd, I've always been a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of that because I have a lot of fun usually, but I have done the role play of like nerd with the testosterone-driven jock.
Ooh.
Like... So, like, you know, the it's forbidden because how could a jock, you know, or how could a nerd stoop down to a meathead's level? And how could a meathead, you know, give a dumb little plain nerd, you know, the time of day? Yeah. So, I mean, that's a taboo. And so I have played that one. And that was pretty fun, you know, and stuff. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. And it's kind of in my wheelhouse because, like, I guess it's the part of me that likes the primal play. But I like them big and stupid. I just there's this old song I think from the 80s that is like, I like them big and stupid, you know, and it's just a song where she just talks about she likes them big and stupid because she likes to be cute and be the one that's smart and, you know, all that stuff. But I've just always been an intellectual type, and I think sometimes I just want something really big and stupid and primal because, you know, it can get us both out of our head, I guess. So,
it's quite visceral, I suppose, isn't it? If you take intelligence visceral, out of it almost, it becomes almost feral.
Oh, yeah, that's the definitely. Word I'm looking for. Yeah, feral, yeah. I think that's the thing. I think that's another reason why I also drive towards being submissive, you know, in a relationship, in the sexually. Because I'm so analytical and so cogs are always turning. So when I'm submissive, I can just let that go, like stop. Yeah. You know, I
you
really
have
to
think
try hard
it,
to
though.
Do that.
It's
but
just,
exactly,
I don't have to think
yeah.
about this anymore. It's a very attractive way to be. Mm-hmm. It's to be allowed that because it's a type of freedom as well. To be allowed the freedom to think or not analyze or not control a situation.
Yeah, and it takes a lot of. You know, if you can find somebody to establish that with, because if you are an over analytical sort, it does take time.
Yes.
To get to that level. So be aware of that. If your partner is super, super intellectual and you want to do, maybe they usually are same footing as you, or they're more dominant in the bedroom and you're wanting to do a switch, just know that it will take time. Because I know for me personally, with a new partner, it takes time for me to actually go full on submissive.
And trust.
And trust, because even though you don't have to even involve any other kinks, but actually trusting you enough that, you know, you aren't going to, you know, that you're, you know, you aren't going to do this, you aren't going to do that, that you're going to, you know, it's not even that I don't trust you in that way, but it's being able to let go. That's a hard
it's
part.
It's being very, very vulnerable, and you have to trust somebody, at least a little, usually a lot, to allow yourself to be that vulnerable, particularly when the world we live in doesn't really allow for any kind of vulnerability, because you get squashed very quickly. So it's a big deal.
Exactly.
And it's something that you need to be aware of. Be aware, people.
It's definitely... Be aware. Be aware. Hard lessons learned is what, you know, it does happen. You will get squashed sometimes. And I think we haven't really touched on that a whole lot on the show, but, you know, listening to the show or not, doing everything that you can do to be sexually proactive, kink proactive, exploring things, there are going to be most likely, I'm actually going to say it's guaranteed that you still will have missteps, whether they're small or big.
Oh, without doubt.
Without a doubt, I still have them. And when it comes down to that, you just have to decide, are you going to let that last bad experience define the rest of your sexual experience or not? That's all.
Man,
that's,
if I'd done that.
That's, I know, right? That's my thing. I'm just like, if I'd done that, you know, and it's true. It's very true. All you can do is learn from it. Just learn, was it that partner? Was it me? Was it that kink? What was it? You know, because I can tell you collectively, it's never everything that was part of it.
No.
It's something that something pinged inside of you or something happened. There was one little factor and that threw a ring into all of it. So you just got to explore. And and I can speak from experience, and it sounds like you can too, that you have a misstep. And but if you keep moving forward, you can really learn a lot and have some really good times. So
you can't let mistakes define you. They're just something that you learn from. Mm-mm. And if you're making mistakes, it means you're trying to learn, which is a good thing. Oh, that's my chair going nuts there. Because you can't learn anything new without exploring and testing the waters.
Exactly. And I think there's nothing wrong with wanting to grow. That's I feel like our whole human experience is growing in one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, and sex is no exception to that. And so you shouldn't be apologetic, and you shouldn't, you know, not do things and not grow just because you're afraid of yourself or other people and stuff. You can find. There are plenty of people out there that are pro this. You're not alone, like Zita said earlier. You're not alone. You just got to find your right little circle, you know.
Find your tribe. That's the phrase people use, isn't it? Find your tribe.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, so just in summation, bringing it back, taboo is Zita. If I know we've talked about it and we've basically said what it is, but as far as defining it and what makes it so exciting, what is your final, I guess, this is my definition, and this is why I think it's exciting, or why people find it so exciting.
For me, it really is defined by anything that society or even your own morals will tell you is not quite the norm. If it flies in the face of what is traditional or what is quote unquote normal, it can be considered taboo. Which is a real shame, because at the end of the day, there are so many facets of the word taboo that actually sneak into our everyday lives without us knowing, you know. And whether we think it or not, we all have a little bit of a taboo in us, about us, or in our thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Like I said, I equated it to walking by a sweet shop. It's forbidden. It's forbidden. We shouldn't allow this to happen, but it's just there. Yeah, it's part of human nature. It's it's also, you know, it's just why I think if I'd have to say the biggest thought that probably, and this is my opinion, the biggest thought that crossed people's minds or anything when it comes to taboo in any respect, whether we're talking, you know, food, sex, conversations, you know, participating in, you know, whatever, the thought crosses your mind that, well, if it feels good and I really like it, then should I deny myself? Really? You know, because at the end of the day, that's true. Like in the fantasy aspect, all of these role plays, that's really what it comes down to. I mean, I know we've talked that there are some blackmail scenarios to it and, you know, power plays that would, you know, where your hand's kind of forced. But mostly collectively, it's, you know, you're the sexual being, I'm the sexual being. We just happen to have these two different levels that aren't norm or that would be frowned upon. But why should we let that stop us, you know? When down the route is that it's exciting, but it's forbidden, you know, that's part of the excitement.
And that is the core, because we're not supposed to have it, mm-hmm. as you know, supposed to by anybody's measure. We want exactly. it. And that's what makes it exciting. And the fact that we now have it when we're not supposed to mm-hmm. introduces an element of danger and excitement, which... Mm-hmm. you don't get with things that you're just allowed to have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The very act of taking something you're not supposed to have is exciting. And when you apply that to a taboo or a kink or a fetish, it just elevates it mm-hmm. so much more.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. And so if you would have to say for my listeners, when it comes to practicing or exploring this kink, what suggestions do you have, or what advice, and or when is doing so appropriate, approaching such as a kink or a fetish?
I guess my first thought would be, don't be afraid to ask questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there has to be. No, there shouldn't have to be, but unfortunately, there has to be a measure of deciding when it's safe to ask these questions and mm-hmm. who it's safe to ask these questions of. But once you've traversed that minefield, don't be afraid to ask as many questions as you can of as many people as you can. Learn as much as you can. Allow yourself to learn that you are not alone and understand that there are people who have similar thoughts to you. Mm-hmm. Find your tribe and spend time having conversations with them. And in some measure, if you can, have conversations with people that you wouldn't expect to have these conversations with, because by That's doing true. So, you can help to normalize mm-hmm. You can help to normalize your own thoughts and your own feelings and almost validate them. Mm-hmm. It's a shame that we have to look for validation outside of ourselves, but if you're in a situation where that's important to you, speaking with people who don't necessarily share your viewpoint or your likes and desires can be validating, because you may not change their mind, but being heard is half of the battle. And once you are heard, it's a very validating feeling, knowing that you have said your piece, been heard mm-hmm. and been acknowledged. And if you can do that for yourself with help or on your own, then you're doing better than most people I know, frankly, because it is easier said than done. But yeah.
A big part of us being able to explore kink for a lot of us, whether we like to admit it or not, is feeling comfortable and not feeling like a pariah in our own skin. And mm-hmm. you have to have people, you know, like you said, your tribe, you have to have a tribe that you are comfortable talking to about, you know. I find myself lucky enough to be in this community of erotica, both, you know, written and oral, and, you know, listening, that there are people all around me that I'm able to have these conversations with. Now, obviously, you know, we usually don't just pop in like, oh, you write erotica? I record it. Hey, let's talk about kink. Like, usually it's not the way it happens. You do have to
estate.
I mean, yeah, it'd be cool. I mean, like, sometimes we can, like, here in passing, but a very in-depth conversation usually doesn't happen. But definitely you need to not feel so alienated about your sex and your fantasies. And so definitely consider who in your life, as you explore kink, can definitely, you can talk to about this, especially one like taboo that people feel is so frowned on about. Because like we said, when we collectively, between you and my listeners that voted, said that when they hear taboo, you know, 80-90% are going to think incest. So you need to be able to say, well, I'm interested in taboo relationship, you know, as a kink. You need to be able to say that to somebody and then have them not stonewall you right there. You know, or you to have, I'm just going to say it, you to have the balls to keep talking, to tell them that it is not just incest. It is these other things. And this is the area you're into. Not that incest is a bad thing, but I'm just saying if that's not the part of it you're into, then don't think you can't further explain yourself, you know, or, you know, do that and stuff. It's just like how we talked with any other kink on this season so far. Other than that, when is it appropriate? Obviously, you'll know when it's appropriate or not. I mean, like we've said, it's unfortunate that we have to, you know, put ourselves into two or three different skins with different crowds to, you know, it really is a form of survival in a lot of ways. Like I said, nobody wants to feel isolated. We crave feeling included and feeling part of society. That's the way we function. Yeah. No man is an island ever. You can't do it alone as much as we want to, you know, especially not sex. You can for a while, but I mean, we're always going to, it's not as much fun. You're always going to crave a second person at some point. So, you know, so definitely you'll know, but, so that, and then, when it comes to exploring the kink, just, you know, if you want to explore taboo, make sure you're setting your boundaries. You know, it's also your kink. Don't say, I'm into taboo, let's try this. And then let them overrun what you're comfortable with, you know?
No.
Yeah, no, yeah. See, a lot of people, you know, there's so many things to consider. And I know sometimes it sounds like I'm giving you guys homework assignments. But if you want if you want to seriously grow as a couple or as a sexual adult, then you need to take yourself seriously. And you need to have your partners do so as well. So if you just say, hey, I want to try, you know, this role play, or I want to try sensory play, and you let them buy all the toys and they show up with three things that you would have never, ever done, you know, they show up with hot wax and, you know, things like that. And you go, whoa, you know.
That's not quite what I was thinking.
Quite what I was thinking. Yeah, you can't say, hey, I want to be vulnerable and then leave all the choices to somebody else. You have to speak in. You have to give some choices here. It's just like, you know, choosing your place for dinner. You know, hey, yeah, you know, I'd like to get some Italian. Sure. And then you get there and you let them order everything for you. You're not going to always have a good experience. Sometimes you will. Sometimes you won't. Or, you know, you'll have a subpar.
Sometimes you might get lucky. Yeah.
Sometimes you might get lucky, you know, and stuff. But, you know, there might have been something on the menu you really wanted to try and you didn't get to. And sometimes after that one time when you try a new kink with a partner, they'll go, okay, well, we tried that kink, so we're done now. Just be mindful that sometimes that's the way couple styles are. So
You ended up with lasagna when you really wanted a pizza.
Exactly. And nobody wants that. I wouldn't. I want a pizza.
Damn. I want pizza.
I was going to say, you got that one in the freezer. You're calling your name.
Actually, yeah. I don't know if you can hear my stomach talking, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, right? But definitely. And something else I wanted to hit on, because you brought up how prevalent taboo is without us even realizing it. If you are a little... if it's not the roles, I know today our episode was more about taboo relationships, but I think Zita could definitely chime in that there are definitely other elements of taboo that we consider all the time. I know we've kind of touched on it a little bit, but definitely voyeurism, exhibitionism. I mean, you may be in a completely committed relationship and, you know, maybe at the dinner table somebody's hand strays over to somebody else's lap. That would be a taboo thing, as in that social situation it's not acceptable, you know. But it's naughty, it's taboo, it's forbidden. So there are smaller versions of taboo that are completely committed, you know, that are, you know, that aren't bad. So also consider delving into those if you're not sure if any of these role plays maybe are your thing, or you've got a work your way up and just be yourselves for the taboo play. you know, and don't be afraid to have fun. I know. I don't know all of Zita's experiences, obviously. I'm over here across the pond and have been my whole life, and I haven't known Zita my whole life. But, you know, don't be afraid to laugh at yourself. I know that in my role plays that I've done, or, you know, anything like that, or even in my erotica, quote unquote, career here, I've not been afraid to laugh at myself, or, you know, or be like, oh yeah, that's something I've done, ha ha ha, you know, and stuff.
Oh,
so
it's so important to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's uber important. So definitely. Well, I think we've pretty much capped it off. Zita, do you have any other advice or comments or anything for our listeners regarding the kink of taboo relationships?
I guess the takeaway message I want to leave people with is don't be afraid of taboo relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're everywhere, whether you realize it or not. Mm-hmm. And it's not... It's society and tradition and expectations that make it taboo.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it's up to you whether or not you want to put any stock in those, or if you just want to go your own way. You know, if mm-hmm. you decide Absolutely. That you are wanting a relationship with an older person, that is a taboo, but if that's who you want to be with, that's who you want to be with. You decide for yourself if that's acceptable mm-hmm. or not. Society should not be allowed to do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, small example, but it's what I want people to take away. You decide if it's taboo and whether or not you agree with what society tells you.
Exactly. At the end of the day, society is not having your sex for you.
No.
I mean, I couldn't have said it better. You decide when it comes to your sexual experience. You're the one that decides who gets to make the choices. So yeah, just know that you don't ever have to do anything you don't want to do. So, and you have the ability to do everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, well, thank you so much for being on my show today. I enjoyed it.
Thank you for having me. It's been awesome.
Thank you. I'm good. I'm glad. And everybody, you definitely should check Zita out. As she said, she has got a plethora of taboo in her, you know, wheelhouse. yeah, I know. Right? I've got some as well. So I'm going to link you up with Zita. And she is just a tremendous person all around. So definitely just check her out. If nothing else, she has got some very racy crochet that she does as well. That I think is fantastic. So you should check that out if nothing else. It's fantastic.
Another taboo right there.
I know, right? Another taboo. I'm just working on my crochet at the desk.
Yeah, my mother does not approve. It's really funny.
That's the best. I always get a kick out of those. But we'll definitely hook you up. Be sure to check in next week as we will have a whole nother episode of Kink. And we are in the works of getting ready for season 2. So remember, comment, share, give feedback. What do you want to hear? What's your questions you have? I have my mailbag episode coming up in a few episodes to end out the season. So I look forward to it. And yeah, remember to kink safely. Have fun.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.